The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
It's time for your weekly Road Crew Tip, brought to you by the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series and Kenbar Films.
That's right. It is that time of the week right here on Radio Memphis and Memphis Metal Mondays. We're up to tip number 7. And for those of you who may be just joining and you don't know what we're talking about, what we do every Monday night right at 9:30 p.m. at Central Daylight Time, we're bringing you weekly road crew tips. And this is for whether you're in the studio, whether you're on stage, or whether you're out on the road. And what we've been doing is that if you've been kind of following us, you've been seeing the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series logo out and about. And every time you see it pop up, you might even see the words that say alert, okay? And normally what that means is that we're doing an interview, we're catching up with a pro from behind the scenes, and we're talking to them, getting into their mind, getting into the world, getting the cool stories, getting to laugh and have a lot of fun with it. And here recently, I was able to catch up with a gentleman by the name of Michael T. Goodwin. And of course, those of you that know him now, you know him with Control Freak Systems, you know, out of Pennsylvania, you know, phenomenal guy, very, very talented man, and has done so many cool different things. And of course, he's agreed that he may actually have something to share with you guys. And of course, we're going to take a few moments and we're going to chat with him. So let me go ahead and bring him on in. Hey, Michael.
Hey there, dude. Is that you?
That's me, baby. How are you?
Kido, I'm really good. I was just listening to, just popped up tonight on the Facebook thing, with Dancer's interview from Saturday.
So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's one of my good buddies, so it was really great to listen to him talk. I just finished the whole beer story, and you got to the first music break, so I stopped there because I knew you were going to call.
Oh, my God, you got through the beer stuff. You know...
Yeah, so the tip thing here now. So at first, I just want to say, you know, you're doing these things on 10:30 at night with a bunch of old roadies. So you got to get AARP or somebody to sponsor this thing.
You know, stop it. You guys are not that old. You need to stop. You
know? We're all dinosaurs. We're ancient. What are you talking about?
It's what?
I can take it through the day.
Man, are you kidding? You're like my only. I feel like Princess Leia with the honey buns on the side of my head. I'm trying to insert a CD. Like you're my only hope. Okay, because I need you. You know, for tips and stuff, because the upcoming generation, they need help.
I got you covered on that. It's just, you know, nowadays we're trying to get younger, so I'm doing the whole Tom Brady thing. I'm going to bed at 8:30 at night and eating perfect food and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, you know, that's good for you. That means I can pump you for some more info for a lot longer. So stay with me.
I've got a few things for you. We got any time tonight? How much time we got? What do you think?
You know what? For you, I think that I had this feeling in my belly, in my stomach, and I knew that you wanted to spend some time with me. And
yeah, so I got a couple things going for you. So the way to look at this, so you wanted a road trip, right? So there's a million things in the world that are pretty obvious, you know, like don't shit in the bus, as Dan's story from his interview was. That's really probably kind of obvious. And actually, at the end of the day, my first tip was my wife Carol says it doesn't really work as a road tip because, you know, Travelocity or TripAdvisor, those kind of people say this kind of thing all the time. But you got to realize, we didn't have any of that when we were on the road back in those days. There was social media. There was no TripAdvisor to figure out what's going on at the next Holiday Inn, wherever you might be. But the most obvious one is never drink from a hotel glass, right?
Ooh.
So, and I just learned that the hard way by being sick a lot in weird places. And so, you know, plastic ones are good, but actual glass ones. And I've actually seen people's eyes light up when I tell them that. They're like, oh, yeah, maybe I shouldn't do that.
Oh, my. I just mine did. Oh, my God. I didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you do not. I've seen maids do all kinds of stuff with rags, just cleaning those things out. And just, you know, if you have to, just drink from your hand like an Indian from a stream, you know. But my second one is really my buddy Ken Kaler's best. Road tip, which is always have an alternative plan, no matter what that is. And if you read the driver's manual, it's always telling you, look for a place to go when you're driving to bail out in case you know, shit hits the fan.
Of course.
You're not going to hit another car or a sign. Look
of
for
course.
Some place to go. And no matter what you're doing, you always got to be thinking like that when you're on the road.
Absolutely.
When you're traveling, when you're working, when you're having a conversation with the accountant, no matter what it is, you got to be looking for a place to bail out. It's going to be a safe zone for you. So I back up Ken Kaler on that one. Totally.
Absolutely. But you know, it's what's so funny is that you guys, both of you, and you know, and hey to Ken, he sent me a message. He sent me a text message yesterday checking in on me, and I love hearing from him.
Mm-hmm.
You guys say this, and it sounds really smart, you know, and Michael, it sounds awesome, but let's be honest, okay? You just made the reference about how, you know, what you used to do back in the day. Did you do this when you were doing this in the back of the day?
Do what?
You know, like pay attention, have plan B.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, but you learn that kind of stuff the hard way.
Of course.
Sometimes it works. There's all kinds of things that happen. I'm thinking back in the days when, you know, I mean, now we look at the way things happen and you just think how insane it must have been back in World War II, where you're just sitting there and you don't even know that there's an entire German bomber squad headed towards you, and they show up out of nowhere and bomb the living crap out of you.
Right.
So, you know, even in those days, you're traveling from, you know, someplace like Chicago to Kansas City. You don't know that there's an ice storm between you and there.
You don't.
There's no weather. There's no dark sky. There's no weather.com.
No.
There's only like truckers talking on CB and spreading rumors and stuff. So as you're getting closer, it starts to get worse and worse. And then all of a sudden, you know, it turns into black ice, and then you've got to slow down to 20 miles an hour, and then you stop at the truck stop to call ahead to let the promoter know that you're going to be 5 hours late for loading.
Of course, of course.
And you guys don't get there till 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, as opposed to 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, and you got to go balls to the wall to get the thing set up. And as the audience is coming in, you're still focusing lights and putting stuff together.
Right.
So in those kind of environments, you learn how to adapt, and you learn how to do things that you've never thought of before.
Because you have
and
to do it.
As completely antithesis to the normal procedure of how you load in, which is, you know, you have the riggers go in, you hang points, you bring the stage in. Nowadays, you put it up at one end of the arena because it's on wheels, and you roll it in.
Yeah,
in my day,
that.
You waited till the rigging points went up with all the truss and the lights on it. Then you put the stage underneath all that.
Wow.
Then you put it all together. I mean, if somebody says to you, hey, you know what? What if we load sound in first? Now, that sounds ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense to anybody.
Of course not.
But you got to be able to embrace the idea that some of those radical things might actually get you where you want to be faster than the way you might normally do it. So,
okay.
You know, be adaptable. Always have an alternative plan. Definitely, that's a major, major tip for everybody to have.
Absolutely.
And I think that's just a general thing to have towards life.
Absolutely.
General.
That's the way it should be. Absolutely. I'm still stuck on the glass thing in the motel room, dude. I'm so, like, I'm so upset.
Don't go near them. That little paper thing they put on top of there, that is not going to keep out anything.
That's bull.
Trust me.
That's bull, isn't it? Yeah, that's the
yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking back, and I'm just like, oh my god, what have I drank?
Yeah, don't do it. So then, in terms of real things that you can really do aside from those two things, which obviously seem, I guess, kind of obvious, I'd have to say, never be afraid to say, I don't know.
Oh.
It's so hard for people. And I talked about this last time because I was talking about when I was a kid, I had to make my resume look really snappy coming out of college.
Yes, you did.
What had I done?
Yes, you did.
I learned to stop shitting in my pants and go to college, you know, and hold a job for 10 minutes. That's not much of a resume. So you try to make everything look fantastic and you talk about how great it is. But at the end of the day, when you're learning things, the best thing you can possibly say is, I don't understand, I don't know. And it doesn't really matter if you're running the whole show.
Wow.
If somebody says something to you, and I know from a political standpoint, you know, you're consciously aware of the fact that you don't want to look like an idiot.
Well, yeah.
You don't want to say in front of somebody who's paying you a whole lot of money, I don't know how to do that. So at the right time, you might say something like, I'm not sure about that fact, but I'm going to do some research and get back to you with a good solution.
You know what?
But,
See,
but old,
That right there. Would you, the way you said it, didn't tell me that you didn't know. You know, because I mean, you got to remember something. And for those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Michael Goodwin. We're in the middle of a Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series Road Tip. This is number 7 installment. Everybody I've talked to, including you to an extent, has been like, whatever has been presented to them, they're like, okay, we can do it. We sure can. Without even realizing they can do anything or not, they'll find a solution.
Yeah, whatever that might be. Because, I mean, stuff happens. You know, you'll show up in that same scenario where I'm talking about getting to Kansas City.
Right.
And an ice storm happens. There's a good chance that everybody's going to get separated. Like, really, it's a little easier today because people stay a little bit more in touch because of the communication devices. But what do you do when you get there and the band gear truck rolled down the hill?
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be an extra 4 hours late. So you got to figure that out. You got to go to your Rolodex or whatever it is that you do and find people locally to bring things together.
Absolutely.
Make all of that happen. And you got to remain calm. And you have to be humble to make that happen. You can't, you know, being really bossy in those situations doesn't really work. And it works much better for you to ask for help or to say, I don't know. What can I do to get through this?
That's a perfect answer. You know, you actually bring up a good point though too. You mentioned the, you know, being so connected, right? Here's the thing though. In fact, Ken Kaler is a prime example. You know, when I was trying to get him scheduled in, you know, to do an interview, you know, with me here, he was funny because, you know, he was out on the road and he was doing some stuff and he was there were some points where he's like, "Look, D, my phone's not going to work." You know what I mean? It's not, you know, you're not going to be able to get to me, you know,
right.
I'm going to have to be able to check in at some point here and there. And so, I mean, you know, everybody's made a real huge mistake on being so reliant on, you know, these devices that, you know, what are you going to do if they're not around? What would you
do? That's an interesting point because we actually, in my company, I have to yell at everybody because we have so many different ways to communicate. We don't use email that much anymore.
Oh, fine.
We use a communication device like Slack or texting or Facebook where you can type in and message people. They're, even as long as a short time ago, as 3 years ago, 4 years ago maybe, I had guys over in Europe, and I couldn't get them on the phone because they're playing in some basement club in Berlin.
Right.
But they're sitting there on their laptop at the front of the house, and they're on the internet, and we can chat through Facebook, message each other on Facebook.
Right, right.
Or we can text. In fact, we actually text each other a whole lot more, and then the other devices like Slack are way more efficient than email, and it's instant. Back and forth. So there's lots of ways today to be able to stay in touch that we didn't have back in the day, in the dinosaur days of the late 70s, 80s. Even going back to the late 80s and 90s, which is the time period what we've been focusing on with the whole group of Cooper Tours and Julio Tours and Dan Stevenson's world. So I'm going to give you the last tip, which I think is probably the most important one out of all of them.
Okay.
Which is always never forget to have fun at what you're doing.
Oh.
And you can have fun in a whole kinds of different ways. You can have fun watching somebody drink a bunch of beer and puke spaghetti all over into their
You're loving that. I know you're loving
that. You can have fun busting each other's balls all the time.
Yeah.
But I'll give you an example, and this goes back to the last interview that we had, which was, you know, really kind of all about professionalism and doing the right thing having a work ethic and whatnot.
Well, sure.
And I know we're talking on a heavy metal radio show here, so you're probably more focused on the Alice Cooper stuff in some ways.
Not necessarily, man. I break all the rules on everything I do. You know,
there's a bunch of stories, especially when we have the round table with these guys. You know, like I told you the other day, when you talk to Putter, ask him about the fork with the one fork on it.
Yeah, I still have to ask him. Okay, I know he's tuned in. I know he's listening because he knows you're on. Yeah. So
that's a Coop story, right? And then when all of us talk, we all have to talk about the couple of ferry rides that we had from someplace like Gothenburg to some God knows where in Norway.
Oh, wow.
A couple of those. And they are so epic that you really have to have each individual person. It's almost like one of those movies like The Hangover.
I love it. See, you just encapsulated it for me. You just described the moment for me. That is perfect, Michael. That is
perfect. It winds up with the most ridiculous things like 15, 20 hours later. But in that same vein, a lot of that had to do with me and Dan doing stuff, and Julio is an example.
Love it.
And I was a lighting designer. I described that last time. Kieran Healy, designed
yes.
it, and it was. So you want to imagine that you're in the Plaza de Taurus, which I don't know if you can do, but
okay.
If you're listening, for listeners, you can go online, you can look at a Plaza de Taurus, you can think of bullfights.
Okay.
And so you've got these ovals, these arenas, and they are 7,000, 10,000, 20,000, up to, in Madrid, they're big, they're 30,000, 35,000 seat arenas.
Wow.
And they're circles with sand in the middle. And you build a stage on one end, usually on the abattoir end, which is where you have dinner.
Okay.
And it's a rickety, kind of crappy stage, with scaffolding and wood that's kind of dodgy. And you're an idiot because you don't know what you're doing there.
Of course.
And it's June or July, and it's 105 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning. But because this is the kind of schedule that you're used to keeping in your world, you start work at 8 o'clock. Even though the Spanish culture is nighttime, and sometimes those shows won't go off till 10 o'clock at night,
right.
11 o'clock, 2 a.m., whatever they might be.
Right.
So you set the whole thing up, right? And there's not a lot of space in to do it. And the way that I'm the lighting director for that, right? So
okay.
you have some genie crankups, and you have an upstage truss, and you have a downstage truss with par cans and Lecos on it, 40, 50 feet wide on ground supports.
Okay.
And you might have a few things in the middle. You might have some floor lights. And in this particular case, part of the design was the upstage truss had these, imagine these like sailing ship triangles of white material that tied off the weights. And we had four or five of them across the back. And then we had these floor lights with color changers on them, lit them up. And we had ACL bars with colors in them that changed colors on those, that was the scenic pieces, right?
Wow.
On those triangles. And then you had a bunch of par cans, and you had follow squad operators up in each corner. And then out in the front of house, you'd build a tower, right, a scaffolding as well, the regular old, 3 meter scaff.
Sure.
With levels on it. You put a couple follow spots up there, and you carry all that stuff with you. And I think Britt Rowe was our company that did the lighting for that in those days.
Crazy.
So the truck drivers would be the guys who were your follow spot operators, which was really good because it meant that every night you had the same amount of guys. And if you didn't have enough trucks and you had five spots and you had four trucks, one of the riggers or somebody make an extra wedge to run follow spot for you.
Okay.
And the good thing about that is you had the same guys every night. So after a couple of nights, after the first four or five shows, which is a week and a half, everybody knew the show backwards and forwards. So you had plenty of time to relax and kind of talk about things and get to know each other.
Right.
And in terms of having fun, in those days, I had a Sony Walkman that played CDs, and I had a CD library with me.
Okay.
And one of the things that I did to keep my connection with the world was I would play Paul Schaefer's the Letterman theme.
Of course.
And we'd play that, and I'd listen to that when I was lonely or we're in Russia or some god awful place. And I would got into the habit of piping it into my headset system, talking to the four or five operators that we had.
Oh.
All that I knew by name. I didn't call them by number. After the first 2 weeks, I called them by name.
Yeah.
And then I didn't even need to call them. I'd just give them goes and fades or whatever it might be. But during the course of the night, I'd start the show out with a little speech about what we're going to do in case we had a new guy or somebody was ill or they got replaced.
Yeah.
And we'd talk about it, and I'd play the theme song. And then Julio would come out and he'd start singing.
I love it.
And then, like, the third song, for whatever reason, and this was Kieran and I, going back to the Radio City days when it was a big production, bigger of everything.
Okay.
and we would scale it down. One of my comments, you know, one of my propositions in those days was that we could set that show up on the on-ramp to a highway in the rain, and it would look the same when we were done with it. Didn't matter. Plaza de Toros, whatever it might be.
Oh, look at you.
And,
okay.
And some of those places that we used to play in Spain, I mean, Benidorm, that was a castle there, actually, but really small little places where the towns would have, like, literally three or four phones on stands in the middle of the city.
Well, sure.
And that's the only phones that the city had.
Right.
But they had a Plaza de Toros, because that's part of the whole culture, right?
Okay.
So the third song was kind of a multicolored garish song. So after a while, it was like, you know what? And depending upon how I felt about the artist that particular night.
Of course.
Depending on what he said to me from the stage, we used to play How Bad Can We Make Julio Look during this song? So we'd have one follow spot in purple and one in green and one in red, one in yellow or whatever. And we'd just play with that for a while. And everybody would contribute to it and we'd talk about it, you know. It was a group effort.
Of course it was.
To make all that stuff happen.
Of course it was.
And then during the course of the show, we used to play games. And one of the games we used to play was, we used to say, staying with the Dave Letterman theme, like, what's the top 10 things Julio doesn't have in his rear left pocket?
Okay.
And so everybody would, you know, they'd all... You know, we think about it for it. Everybody would chime in. And, of course, Putter had the best one of ever.
Of course.
In the whole tour, which is a blues harp.
Ah, Putter. Damn him.
But everybody would weigh in. So, you know, we had this kind of family thing that everybody contributed to, and we did everything we possibly could to have fun.
See, but that's what it's about. That's exactly what it's
what?
About. That's what it's about.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it's about. See, and that's there's this. I'm, you know, it's so funny, Michael. I'm so excited, but I'm also scared if I get all of you guys together at the same time.
What's to be afraid of?
Well, because one, who's gonna, you know, are we gonna be able to hear everybody at the same time? One.
Yeah, that's it. There'll be a lot of talking over each other.
Right, sure. Right. You know, and
especially Dancer, because he's deaf.
Oh, he is not. You leave him alone. Okay, out of everybody, I'm going to tell you what, that man has been nothing but a pure gentleman to me. He has been so cool. He even texts me flowers, you know, every day.
I heard that. Right.
Yeah, see, I mean, and he's so cool. He's so nice and so awesome. And I just don't understand why you guys ever called him grumpy.
Because he's grumpy. I mean, they're all grumpy.
You are so cool, man. You are so trying to sidestep that.
Well, I mean, he's my bud. You know, we used to complain about shit together all the time.
Okay.
But one of the things I had, and this was on Coop stuff. I had back in the day, John Morgan, who's the guy now who. He stopped being a road guy. Well, he went from being a very light operator. He worked for me on a Cooper, really good, hardworking very light operator, really talented kid. And then he grew up and he became a lighting designer and he did a bunch of TV shows in L.A. And then decided, I'm not really want to do this anymore. He became a stand-up comedian.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, he did that for a good while. And now he runs the Forum in Los Angeles.
How crazy
he's like the
is that?
Production manager or the executive in charge of production or whatever at the Forum, you know. And
talk about and, the squeal.
I forgot why I got off on him exactly. We used to put something together for Dancer. Whenever we didn't like what Dancer was doing or saying, we had a cue where all the lights and all the automated fixtures in the rig went to his front of house position.
Yeah, he's got a thing about he doesn't like lighting or keyboard players.
No. He would scream about us. You damn squint! And, you know, we turn everything to white. And at the same time, you know, like when we were done with the show, I would, just like I told you last time, I would bust it down with a couple of electricians, get the snake going, you know, tip all the desks, get everything, you know, leave it to the stagehands. Dancer would do the same thing with his crew.
Yeah.
And then he and I would go to the bus and we'd sit there and drink beer and smoke dope for a couple hours while the rest of the loadout went on and tell stories and play music at a million decibels.
And that is it. That's it. And that's where you solved all the world's problems, and that's where you guys got on the same page.
100 times over. And Dancer and I, years later, once this was all done, I went to Michigan to hang out with him for a while, and we played golf up by his place. And there was one time he and I were leading the tournament for about 6 or 7 holes. And it was like a shotgun, like best ball kind of thing.
Okay.
And we just had a great time, and I've always had a good time with him. He's a good guy and someone you can totally rely on to watch your back.
Awesome.
Excellent dude. Love him.
He is, and I'm so glad that you gave him that shout out. That's awesome. And see, what's really cool is that for all of this that's going on, is that everybody is kind of, you guys are kind of getting back in touch with each other too. You know?
Man, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the other day, Dee, it was from that interview I did a couple of weeks ago. Tony, who is the guy that gave me my first gig, called me looking for an awesome lighting guy who could make 5 rheostats flash in the VFW hall, which is what I said.
Wow.
And I wound up talking to him for the first time in about 20 years.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, just 4 or 5 days ago. It was really great.
See,
really good.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm waiting for all of you guys to show up on the same, you know, in the same town and just, you know, just to see.
Yeah.
You guys are gonna pick up right where you left off. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you never know.
Yeah. Dance is my brother, but he is a grumpy old fuck. There's no way around. And he'll tell you the same thing too.
He, you know what? And to his defense, he did. And it was he did. He
I haven't
did.
Heard his interview, so I hope he goes somewhere with.
He did. You know, he sat me down before, you know, because we always do those pre-interviews and we always, you know, get to know each other. And he was like, "Yeah, look, I am grumpy." I'm like, "Okay, all right, but not with me."
Well, but he's a totally organically, you know, derived from, like you said, sleeping on people's couches and,
yes,
I mean, being a dude, you know, just whatever it was.
All of you guys.
And I was cut from a different cloth, but we wound up in the same place doing the same kind of thing.
Isn't that
with
weird?
The same sort of respect for each other.
See? You have and for those of you that have tuned in, I'm talking to Michael Goodwin. You know, it's funny for the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series Road Tip, and we're just having fun. The funny thing with you, though, is that you jumped on and, you know, you took a chance. Even though you went to college and you did what you did, you took a chance and you went out on the road, man. You did the same thing. You took a chance.
Right.
You know, so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Every day is a chance, no matter what you believe.
Hmm. Well, there's sounds like another tip right there.
Yeah, no. Well, the ultimate tip is never fuck up. Of course, don't fuck up. But
you know what?
That's just the way it is.
You were so funny because and I know when I talked to Rick. Okay, Rick is he's my partner and he's the one that, you know, pretty much started and created Radio Memphis. Those are our two rules. The last two that you just went over. This is what we tell all our kids. You know, it's like, you know, first you got to have fun. Okay, and you can't fuck up. And you know, and the reason why is that, you know, you can, and we always say you have to have fun first, and of course not fucking up is a second rule, because we can fix the second rule, but we can't fix the first rule.
Good job.
Good deal. Well, honey, I appreciate you taking some time with me. I know it's late for you because you're an hour ahead.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to get up in the morning, don't you?
Well, nowadays, I'll be up at 5:36, going to the gym, working out for an hour, you know.
Well, that's okay.
Trying to keep the Grim Reaper at bay and trying to repair all the damage I did to my body when I was younger.
You are young. You guys, see, stop it. All of you need to stop. You guys are still young. See, nobody would ever known how old you were unless you told them.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Well, I tell you, it was a changing thing for me last year. When Glenn Frey died and then Bowie died,
and
Prince died from drugs, which is a different deal.
That's different.
But those other two guys I knew well, and it was the idea that it happened to them, and, you know, 12 months later it was over with. It kind of changed the way I look towards my life now at 63.
I see.
You know, Dancer 66.
Yes.
You don't know. I mean, this is the decade where nature's coming to get you, so you never know. And you got to live every day the best way you possibly can, I think.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, you're going to be fine because I need you for some live shows. And I need you for some more tips. I'm selfish like that, but you know, hey. So it's all good. Well, listen, baby doll, I want you to enjoy your night. And if you need anything from me, you let me know. Of course, you know, you and I, we're going to get on the phone. We're going to chat. We're going to talk some more when we got some time and see what we can concoct, you know, out of everything.
Yep.
Sound like a plan?
Yep, cool. Sounds good. I like it.
All right, baby doll. Well, listen, get you some rest, honey. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Good talking to you, dude.
Oh, it was awesome talking to you, Michael. We'll talk. Bye, baby.
Bye-bye.
All right, Mr. Michael T. Goodwin right here on Radio Memphis. And that was tip number 7 episode for the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series Road Tips that we bring to you weekly right here on Memphis Metal Mondays. And of course, you know, he actually threw in a couple of bonuses. You know, one of the things about, you know, tip number 7 is do not use the motel hotel glasses. And when he, you know, it never dawned on me, oh my God, he is so right, because your little paper stuff that goes over the top, you're thinking, oh yeah, that's great, it's gonna fix it, it's gonna be wonderful, and all the horror stories. Okay, so very awesome, you know, very, very cool tip, you know, very awesome. And of course, you know, him backing up his other Road Brothers tips, you know, and always, you know, and always making sure that you have another plan, you know, making sure that you're flexible, you know, and things like that. And also, last but not least, Michael said also to remember to that don't feel bad, you know, if you say I don't know, that it is okay. It is okay for you to say I don't know, that, and you'll be able to find a solution for something like that. So that's some really good stuff. And you guys, don't forget, if you know, if you happen to have just tuned in and you happen to miss the very beginning of this, we've got it at radio-memphis.com. We've got all the tips prior to that, so you can actually grab and catch up at that point. And keep going with us, because you never know what we're going to be talking about right here on the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series.
Tune in every Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Central to Radio Memphis for your weekly tips in the studio, on the stage, and out on the road. It's all part of the Radio Memphis Road Crew Radio Series, and it's only on Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.